Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Very important person here today, Dr. Elizabeth Colvin. She's a pediatrician with DaVita Medical Group. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you're here. We have so much to cover. And we are going to talk about immunizations today, and we've got kind of an update on the measles outbreak and all that stuff. We're going to talk about that. Kids going back to school, got to get the immunizations, vaccines. We're going to talk about that. But I do want to talk with, and we kind of, I don't know if you heard us talking with CSFD about today being record-breaking heat day. Mm-hmm. We need to be careful. And especially, aren't kids more vulnerable when it comes to heat, dehydration, heat-related illnesses?
Yes, they definitely are. And here in Colorado Springs, we're at the 6,500 feet.
Yeah.
And so our air is more dry. And so we lose more hydration more than the typical city. And
yes.
And kids going back to school and
yeah.
sports,
yes.
they're a lot more active outside. And so they need even more hydration than their baseline. So ideally, they're having at least 6 to 8 cups, full glasses of water a day. But okay. if they're exercising outside, the rule of thumb is if they're outside for more than an hour and they're sweating a lot, which you're going to be today.
Yes.
in the 90s, then you also need to replace their electrolytes.
Okay. So what's the best way to do that, really?
The best way is using electrolyte powder.
Oh, okay.
There are drinks like Gatorade and Powerade, but they have a lot of sugar.
I gotta say the sugar. right. I don't think you want to, here, honey, have this. And then they're, yes. Sugar buzzing the rest of the day.
What I usually recommend, if you have to give Gatorade and Powerade, to split it half water, half that Gatorade or Powerade. But there are electrolyte packets that have no sugar in them that you could put into kids' water
That's
as well.
Perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just keep an eye out for them. Like you said, I mean, it's going to be hot today. And some of the symptoms that parents can watch out for just in case.
Yes. So those symptoms would be headache for sure. That's one of the first signs. And actually elevated heart rate and elevated respiratory rate. So if you see kids kind of looking like they're breathing faster, and then you feel their chest and their heart is racing, that is definitely a sign of dehydration.
Absolutely.
Late signs would be like passing out or fainting.
Which is not good.
No, I'd want you to call 911 if that happens.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, but of course they want to stay hydrated all day today. And of course
yes.
it's like, just keep drinking the fluids, everybody.
Yeah, this is one of those states where you have to carry a water bottle with you everywhere you go.
Yep, you got yours.
Yep.
Everybody hold up your water bottle. yeah. See, we're out. Cheers. Water bottles. It's just attached to your hip.
Yes.
Any more tips for parents? Because we know it's still summertime. Kids come home from school right now and they want to play.
Yes. So sun protection is very important. The sun, so our atmosphere here is thinner. And so we get more UV rays coming through. And so we are more likely to get sunburn.
Yeah.
And we need to be wearing that SPF every single day.
Right. And of course, what is the SPF? I hear different levels, and if it's different for kids too.
Yes.
So is 35 like the basic level? Is that the best basic level?
Yes. So minimum, so SPF is sun protection factor.
Mm-hmm.
And the minimum is 15. I don't want you to use anything less than that.
Okay.
But ideally 30. So if you can remember 30, then that is the one number you have to remember.
Right. 30.
30.
Put it in your head.
yeah.
That's perfect. Okay.
Yes.
Any other tips for parents on this hot day today?
Really, those are the two most important things. If you notice that kids are getting signs of that excess dehydration, then bring them inside out of the sun,
mm-hmm.
have them rest, have them lay down and replenish their fluids.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And electrolytes.
Yes.
Okay. So doctor, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about vaccines and a lot more. We've got more with Dr. Elizabeth Colvin next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we are talking with pediatrician Dr. Elizabeth Colvin, DaVita Medical Group. And we want to touch on, because it's back to school time, doctor.
Yes.
I'm sure you've been seeing lots of kiddos at your
office. Yes.
Yes. Which means also it is vaccine time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For a lot of kids heading back to school. And you and I were talking, and it's very interesting. We're going to cover some of the big ones that kids have to get. Mm-hmm. But let's just hop right in with the measles outbreak this year. And I was reading a story this morning, and they were saying this last measles outbreak was the worst since what? How many decades?
Since 1992.
Yeah, the worst.
The worst. As of August 8th, we have 1,182 cases of measles.
Right now.
Right now. So that was the most recent in 2019 since August 8th. It really is quite incredible, considering actually in 2000, we completely eliminated measles in the United States, and now it's increased dramatically.
So let's just, why don't we start with that, the measles vaccination? Is that a good place to start?
Yes.
Now, you and I were talking, in Colorado, are vaccines required? Like, are kids required to have vaccines to go to schools in Colorado?
So in the state of Colorado, there are three exemptions parents could possibly choose when kids are going to school. They are either based on their religious beliefs.
Okay.
Secondly would be personal beliefs.
Okay.
Or thirdly would be a medical exemption. So, for example, the medical exemption would be a child who is immunosuppressed because
like maybe fighting cancer or something.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can't have vaccines.
So definitely no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but otherwise, what are some of the main vaccines? We'll cover the main vaccines and kind of ages that kids get, and then we can kind of break them down. Does that sound good?
Yes. So there's a series of vaccines that kids get really between birth and 4 years old, and then they have a large break until they're 11 years old.
Okay.
And so you get vaccines. There's one at birth that you get, hepatitis B.
Okay.
That a baby would get before they even leave the newborn nursery.
Okay.
And then after that, they get a series of vaccines at 2, 4, 6 months, 1 year.
Okay.
15 months, 18 months.
Wow.
Yes. And then 4 years old.
Okay. And that's the majority of the vaccines?
That is the majority of the vaccines. It actually prevents 14 different serious diseases that infants can get.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quite incredible.
And then you said they're good until about 11?
Then they're good until 11, and they're due for 3 at that time.
And which ones are those?
So one of those is Tdap that fights both tetanus, diphtheria, and whooping cough, pertussis. One of them is a vaccine against meningitis.
Okay.
Most prevalent forms of bacteria that cause meningitis. Then the third one is one against HPV.
Right, mm-hmm. Which is very much becoming a very dominant conversation.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we should just dive in, Doctor, with the measles vaccination, because a lot of questions come up, don't they? And I'm sure you answer parents' questions all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are these vaccinations going to affect my child?
Yes.
And I'm sure it's a very common question. In fact, probably every appointment, right?
Yes. I feel like I have this conversation multiple times a day.
Right.
Really. But it is a really important question because these are parents' children. And they care about their children so much and wouldn't want to do anything to harm them.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So are some of these, and I have not heard of any dangers really associated with these vaccines.
Correct. So there was one study done in 1998, which was done in the UK, which claimed that MMR was linked to autism.
And that's the measles?
That's the measles, mumps, rubella.
Okay.
And children get that at 1 year old and at 4 years old.
So and that one study, though, was later completely debunked.
Correct. Not only did that main author lose his medical license, he was accused of medical misconduct. And then 11 out of the 13 authors ended up pulling out and saying they disagreed with the results of that study. And so after that, too, we've had many, many more larger population-based studies showing there's no link between that vaccine and autism.
But it's still, it just seems there's still, though, this thought process that keeps going back to that study, isn't there?
Yes, because unfortunately that study stimulated a movement online and in social media. So often parents who care almost the most for their children are doing all of this research to make sure that they're not harming their child. And these are the first resources that they they find when they're searching the internet.
But they're not seeing the fallout from that false study? Apparently not.
Apparently not, yeah. So often these resources are not founded in science.
Right.
They're founded in opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Which makes it really hard.
It does make it hard because, well, anybody can do a Google search and find all kinds of
information. Doesn't mean you stop there, right? You have to keep searching.
Yes. So the best resources to look for, I always tell families this, is look at the American Academy of Pediatrics website.
Okay.
And the CDC, the Center for Disease Control website. Those are the two places where we do the most research on our vaccines. And we don't do research once a year. They are doing research over and over again to make sure that these vaccines are safe for our children.
And so we can answer, and then after we do a quick news break, Doctor will talk about some other vaccines that folks may have concerns about.
Mm-hmm.
But what were some of, besides the causing, my brain just went.
Autism.
Thank you.
Yes.
Wow. Were there some other concerns about the MMR vaccine that parents were having, like, you know, reactions, anything besides, were there other concerns that were popping up?
Well, I get a lot of questions about parents being concerned about the components of the vaccine.
Okay.
So there can be different additives to help preserve the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So one of them is thimerosal, and that is, it does contain mercury.
Okay.
But I always clarify that mercury compound is not similar to the mercury compound that we have in, like, say, tuna.
Okay.
And
so that's where folks are getting kind of a little maybe confused.
Yes. And it's a type of compound that is very easily broken down and does not stay in our bloodstream.
Okay.
But there have been several studies, just like I mentioned before, that have showed no link between this compound and long-term health effects.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we do need to take a quick news break. We will have more with Dr. Elizabeth Colvin when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking with pediatrician Dr. Elizabeth Colvin from DaVita Medical Group, and we're talking about vaccinations, and we've covered the MMR vaccination. Let's talk about other vaccinations, Doctor. And you and I were having a very interesting conversation in the news break, and it's
yes.
very interesting because some of the most important vaccinations are the 2-4 6-month vaccinations, right?
Correct.
But you're starting to see a trend where parents are not actually doing the 2-4 6-month vaccinations. In fact, they're not vaccinating before 2 years old, which defeats the purpose, really, right?
Yes.
Is it kind of just not, are they concerned about, because some of these diseases, obviously, we're vaccinating against very serious diseases.
Yes. And so each of those months, the 2, 4, and 6 months, kids are vaccinated against really 6 different serious illnesses.
Okay.
And one of those vaccines, so they usually get 3 pokes, and one vaccine is a combination vaccine that includes lots of different, protects against lots of different bacteria and viruses. Parents become concerned because of the amount of the number of vaccines that they are getting at one time.
Okay.
And concerned that an infant so small can handle that number of vaccines.
Okay.
So sometimes parents wish to hold off until the child is bigger so they feel like their body can handle more. But what we know is those illnesses we protect against, they are most common less than 2 years old.
Oh, okay.
And so when we set the schedule, meaning the CDC, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the NIH, National Institute of Health, they have created this schedule to best protect the child when they're most vulnerable.
Okay.
And so that's why we give those vaccines when they're so young.
Right.
But also what we know is that these vaccines are made out of pieces of these bacteria and viruses, just tiny little pieces of the germ, if you think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And every day in our life, we are exposed to so many more germs.
Right.
And so we know we're not overwhelming the child's immune system.
Right.
Because what they're exposed to in daycare, for example, is much greater.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. Yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of the biggest thing. And so is that a question you see a lot from parents is, well, isn't this too much overloading their systems at that age? Is that one of the biggest questions you're saying?
Yes, I often do. And a lot of it is because parents remember what they received when they were younger.
Yeah.
And they say, well, I didn't receive all of those vaccines. And look at me now. I'm perfectly healthy. Why do we have all of these new vaccinations for babies at this age?
Mm.
And we do because we have identified the serious illnesses throughout the past decade, two decades. And by identifying those, we know what children need to be protected from.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not like we were just talking about polio, right?
Yes.
We were just talking about, you know, polio vaccines. Kids don't get polio vaccines, do they now?
Yes, actually, they do.
Okay, maybe the same way we were talking about the sugar cube polio vaccines.
So they get a different type of polio.
Okay, because I was going to say, we're not going to talk about my traumatic polio vaccine incident over a sugar cube. But yeah, I mean, it's the different, everything evolves. Even with disease and bacteria and germs and everything evolves and changes.
Well, one example I usually talk about is, I'm old enough that when I was a kid, I got chickenpox.
Yes.
And I think I was the first one. And then my mom kind of rubbed all my siblings and I together.
To get it done and get it over with.
At the same time. And I remember being away from school for a week. I remember the itchy rash, the oatmeal baths. And I think people remember chickenpox as being an illness that we all survived, not too bad. But there are some serious complications to chickenpox.
Mm, that parents may not think about.
Correct. And because they weren't always in the forefront of our minds, we think about the rash and not these complications. But it caused 50 children to die every year.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't even think I don't know. Has there always been a chickenpox vaccine?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, so that started in the mid-1990s, I believe.
Yeah.
So, and a little bit later than that. But it has been something that has really reduced the morbidity and mortality associated with chickenpox, not only as for children, but then so your risk for getting shingles.
I was going to say, because we could go into the shingles thing. Right, yeah.
is much lower as well. There's still a small risk that these children with the vaccine can get shingles, but much less severe. And yeah.
So for those of us whose parents did rub us all together when we had chicken pox, just get it done. I mean, that is a concern.
Yes, yes,
to get the shingles.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about HPV. I know there's so much we could talk about, doctor, but we've got to, it goes so fast. I do want to talk about HPV because that's the human
papilloma virus.
Thank you. Need more coffee, I guess.
we don't make these words easy for you.
No, of course not. And is this controversial as well? Because they do have now linked HPV
mm-hmm.
to certain types of cancers and other stuff, haven't they?
Yes. So HPV, the human papilloma virus, certain strains of it are tied to cervical cancer. We know that for sure, but also has been tied to different types of anal cancer, penile cancer, you name it, as well as genital warts.
Mm.
And so this has been considered more controversial just because of how new it is. So this has been around for about a decade now. And anything that is new, you often have more questions about it. But really in the last 3, 4, 5 years, it's become way less controversial than it used to be.
And so the recommendation for vaccination, is it a teenage years, preteen? Because it's recommended now, obviously, that all kids get the HPV, right?
And it initially was only recommended for girls, but now it's recommended for boys as well.
Okay.
And that's just to prevent overall spread of the virus. So it's recommended at 11 years old.
Okay.
And if you get it before 15, you only require 2 doses.
Okay, if before 15 is 2 doses.
After 15 is 3.
Okay.
So I always encourage families to get it as at 11 years old to prevent an extra poke for a child.
Now, how separated are the doses for, like, we'll just take HPV, because like we were talking about, some of these require obviously more than just one visit.
Yes. So for HPV, it's a minimum of 6 months in between.
Okay.
Those two. We usually do it at 11 and 12, just because most kids are healthy and they can come at their 11-year-old checkup and 12-year-old checkup.
Okay, perfect. Okay, we do have to take, I just checked the clock. We got to take a break. Okay.
Okay.
We will have more with Dr. Elizabeth Colvin next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We have just a few minutes left with Dr. Elizabeth Colvin. She is a pediatrician for DaVita Medical Group, and we are talking, Dr., some of the reactions for some of the, I mean, that obviously can be a concern for parents. There are some reactions to some vaccines.
Yes, for sure. I am honest with families that getting vaccinations can cause a little bit of a low-grade fever, for sure, for a couple of days. It can cause a local skin reaction. Mm-hmm. So you can have swelling. You can definitely have pain.
Yeah.
And you can have redness at the injection site. Some vaccines, as we were talking about during break, are worse than others. So the HPV vaccine for the 11-year-olds, it can cause quite a bit of muscle pain.
Oh, interesting.
Not only for the short period of time, but afterwards, but for a couple of days afterwards. So I do warn parents about that. And that's all a normal reaction. There can be, in rare circumstances, more severe reactions such as anaphylaxis. That is extremely rare. But if, for example, if a child has an egg allergy,
right?
There is egg in the flu vaccine. And so those children should not get the flu vaccine.
Get the flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. Got it. Aren't there some alternatives? I don't know if there's, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure you will, but like for kids that can't have egg, so they just don't get the flu vaccine, or is there alternatives?
They don't get the flu vaccine. In recent years, they're the flu mist, which is the live version of the flu vaccine, which can be sprayed in the nose. In the last 2 years, that has not been approved by the CDC, but this year it is approved.
Interesting.
Yes. So that would be an alternative for that child.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, and hopefully the flu vaccine this year, we'll see. Right? It's always a crapshoot every year.
It really is.
It always is.
I say it's kind of like they play the lottery.
Yeah.
The CDC plays the lottery.
Well, how can they know? Like if a certain strain comes, right? I mean, it's prediction.
Exactly. And so viruses start one way and they mutate throughout the whole flu season.
Right.
So you could be protected at the beginning of the flu season and then by the end, unfortunately, not protected.
Right. Because it shifted so much.
Yes.
Right.
But it's still important to get the flu vaccine.
Yes.
Every year by October. That will protect you before the main part of the flu season begins.
Now, Doctor, we've talked a lot about a lot of different vaccines, and we didn't really jump into all of them and what they do, but the series of vaccines, the 2-4-6, and actually sticking with those if possible. But if folks have questions, they can actually reach out, correct?
Correct. So there often are tons of questions about vaccinations. And like we talked about, sometimes Google is your friend and sometimes it's not.
Right.
And so the best place to look is at the CDC Center for Disease Control website for more information about vaccinations. Also, your child's pediatrician. And so we have lots and lots and lots of education about vaccinations. Mm-hmm. new information is coming out every single day.
Right.
And so I really encourage you to talk to your child's pediatrician about any questions you have.
Absolutely. And by the way, we do have the Ask the Doctors link on our website. Go to KRDO.com, look under the radio tab, click on Ask the Doctors. You can ask a question. If they want to reach out to you, Dr. Colvin, what's the best way to do that? Go to the website?
Yes, go to the website, make an appointment. Call our line, which, of course, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but we can provide that information for you.
Perfect. Yeah. Yes. So, Dr., we truly appreciate it. I'm sure it's been a busy time of year for you.
Getting
kids ready to go back to school.
Definitely. I think most of the schools are back by now. And
we're getting there. We're getting there. We are getting there. Well, we truly appreciate you coming. And we'll actually talk with you tomorrow morning for the Weekly Health Minute. It was great seeing you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Dr. Elizabeth Colvin, pediatrician, DaVita Medical Group. And coming up next, Tom Martino on KRDO News Radio.